The Layup Line. Welcome to The Layup Line. It is Wednesday, November 26th, Thanksgiving Eve, and I have the privilege of being joined in studio by my good friend Tony Hogan. Flew him in on the red eye up from Columbus, and he is here for a special pre-Thanksgiving edition of The Layup Line. How you doing tonight, Tone?
I'm doing great. Just got done with all Michigan week. Half of it's over. Getting ready for the big weekend.
No lake jump for you last night.
No lake jump. Had some family issues we had to take care of.
Grandpa got in a car accident.
Yeah.
And so, that officially eliminated you from the Muir lake jump.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not mad. I don't have hypothermia right now, but we'll be there next year.
Does everyone just get sick? I just don't see how everyone doesn't get sick.
Everyone gets sick.
I was watching some videos on Twitter of it. It looks chaotic. My two favorite things were there was pictures of some of the football players up on the hill just watching. They're just looking at their phones and they're in full sweat outfits, just laughing. These white people are crazy. Well, it was just funny.
To put in perspective, my best buddy, you know him, Ryan Salem, wore a coconut bikini and swim trunks to Muir Lake jump when it was 30 degrees out in water.
I don't even really know what to do with that.
You don't. And he talked to him on the phone today, straight cold.
That's funny. I know. I would have. That's an incredible looking thing. It's just a circus of a scene. But I'm glad you. Well, I'm not glad your grandpa got in a car accident, but I'm glad that you're alive and ticking. Because we got a big night tonight. We got a big week. Big week of college football. So Tone's here. We're gonna talk some college football, and this is this is the week we've been waiting for. It's officially rivalry week. And I think last week was kind of the calm before the storm. You called it Cupcake Saturday. This is no cupcake.
I do got to give you credit on the upset with Arkansas. That was well done. I did not see that coming.
I did predict that. You know, so last week, let's just do a little review. We could do a review and then a preview. I like that. Last week, like we said, kind of Cupcake Saturday. Nothing really major happened. I don't know. What do you think overall from the Bucs perspective? Good week, bad week, kind of whatever weekend, or
it was a whatever weekend. We didn't come out and blow them out like we were predicted, but we still got the win. Looked good at the end. No one, like we said, no one other big upsets besides Ole Miss.
Florida State, they did their thing again, which I don't even watch. When I see their score, a part of me is always tempted to click over and watch it, and then I don't. I just don't because I know what's going to happen. And this one I actually clicked for a little bit, and then I saw the kid miss the field goal, and I just turned it away because I knew that they were going to march down. And it's just it just happens over and over. So I just don't think they're that good. But if they went out, they're the defending champs. They got the reigning Heisman winner. Even if I don't think they're one of the top four teams in the country, they deserve a spot.
Yes, they do.
Undoubtedly, and they're going to get it. The Ole Miss game was interesting. I was on record said that I thought that was a for sure game, that I was sure that Arkansas was going to win. And I think the weather helped. I watched it. It was a downpour the entire time. And it just – they got beat 30-0. And I don't know. I've been saying all year, I don't want to just hate on the SEC because they're great. But there's some teams that I just don't see being as good as everyone says. And Ole Miss was certainly one of them. I think people got caught up in that. There was never any point that I thought that they would finish the season with anything less than two. I said three losses, and that's what they have now. They got three with the number four team in the country coming to town on Saturday. I don't know. We'll talk about that one. Let me just talk about it right now. How do you think that one's going to go? We got Mississippi State coming in at a one loss against their arch rival. It's in Oxford, which is Ole Miss territory. What do you think's going to happen?
I'm going to say the home team wins. I think these rivalry games are big playing at home. Yeah. I think Ole Miss, even though, like you said, we're not a big fan of them, they still have a good football team. I'm not a big fan of Mississippi State. I don't like Dak Prescott. So I think Ole Miss might pull this one away.
You know,
close game, though.
I'm really hoping – I mean, as a Buckeye fan, I'm really hoping for an upset here. Here's the thing. I think if Ohio State takes care of business, I don't think Mississippi State, is really going to be a problem. I don't think anyone wants to see that game versus Alabama again. And that would be the setup right now is Mississippi State versus Alabama. And I just don't think people want to see that. And I think the committee knows that. I also think that if, say, Alabama takes care of business and Mississippi State is sitting idle on championship week, I don't think that's going to be a problem for a team to jump over them. But regardless, it would make it a pretty clear-cut thing if if Ole Miss can get a win here. And so that's what we're rooting for. I think all Buckeye Nation is Rebel fans this weekend. And we'll see. You know, just kind of reviewing last weekend, you know, the third quarter came and all of a sudden we're losing. And I was sitting in here and you're frustrated because you're like, we're so good when we don't turn the ball over. And we had these dumb turnovers and a couple really bad calls that really stymied us. That horse collar was terrible. But regardless, we did go up 20 with like 2 minutes to play.
Your and boy even, showed up.
Dude, my... Yeah, so do I owe Jalen Marshall an apology?
I believe you do. You were hating on him.
No, hating is such a strong word.
Rightfully so, though. With those, he was the dumbest punt returner I've seen.
Here's my exact quote. I think I'm paraphrasing maybe my exact quote. If you can do that, I said, "Is there anything that makes you feel less excited, or is there anything that you feel less confident about as when you hear the words Jalen Marshall back to receive the punt?" And it's true. Like, I'll give him his due. Because I'm a Jalen Marshall fan. I've said that. I think he is our Percy Harvin. I think he is what we thought Dontre Wilson would be. I think he's a dynamic athlete. I think he's going to be all-time great for Ohio State. Like, I legitimately think he is the athlete that we've been hoping to get since Urban Meyer promised SEC-type athletes. I think Jalen Marshall is that. And so I was excited. Like I texted you during the game and I sent Tony the clip of, Dumb and Dumber when he says, "And totally redeem yourself," just because like he did, like he went out, he won the game. He had 4 touchdowns and it was awesome to see. And I'm rooting for him. Like, I'm excited. I saw the video of him catching punts in the snow when they got off the bus from Minnesota. So like, I'm excited. Like, I like him. I still think he does dumb stuff. Like, even the play before, like the next punt,
it's rolling and he's running up towards it when it's done. Like, it's like if that takes a wrong bounce and nicks you, what are you doing?
So let me just say, Jalen Marshall, who's not listening to this, but if you are, I love you. I'm excited you're a Buck, but please stop doing dumb stuff on punts. Just catch it and run like you do because you're awesome. But yeah, he came and played. I mean, he won the game. But, you know, I think a part of us were freaking out, and Twitter was just going crazy with Ohio State fans being like, "We blew it. Like, there's no way we can get in." And I'm like, hold on a second. Like, if you look at all the close games, like Alabama beat Arkansas by 1. I mean, Florida State never wins by more than a touchdown. I mean, this is going to happen. And not only that, like, we won by double digit, like 2 scores.
Double digit win.
And I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. And I think it was not a problem. It would have been obviously a little bit better if we could have blown him out. But it's not a major issue. I really don't think it is. And I think the biggest game, honestly, in the Big Ten last week, I think, was when Minnesota went and beat Nebraska.
That was big.
Did you get to watch that at all?
I didn't get to watch it, but I did see the score. And they moved up in the rankings significantly.
They're up to 18.
18.
That's huge. So now I think I was on board saying, like, we want Wisconsin to win out. Like, absolutely, we want them to win out, this and that. Like, I'm not sure who I want to win this game this week between Wisconsin and Minnesota, because here's my thinking. If Wisconsin wins, they're going to be probably a top 10 team because they're 12 right now. They're going to be a 10-ish team. And that would look awesome on Ohio State's resume if they can beat them in the Big Ten championship. However,
that's a big if.
They have a certain guy in the backfield named Melvin Gordon. He's a boss, huh?
Straight baller.
I mean,
straight baller. He went for 4 bills in 3 quarters.
Four bills in 3. Like, so did you see his record got broken?
Yeah, how's that happen?
7 days later, his record gets broken. They should have let him play in the fourth quarter. I felt bad for him. But I think he is terrific. And I think a lot of people hopefully have noticed that, like, all this talk that the Big Ten's down and this and that. We have probably the 4 best running backs in the country. I mean, it's insane. We have Melvin Gordon, the kid from Michigan State. Is it? Do you know his name? Oh. Is it Langford?
Yeah.
Abdullah from Nebraska. The kid from Indiana who's got like 2 grand already. I mean, we've got some legitimate running backs. Ezekiel Elliott.
I throw him in there, yeah.
He's most years, he's one of the best running backs in the country. He's not even like top 4 in our league. And so I think what I'm saying is with this Wisconsin game is that before I was all like, Wisconsin has to win, Wisconsin has to win. Now I'm saying like, hey, if Minnesota wins, they're going to be a top 15 team for us in the last week. And personally, I think we match up a lot better than them. I would love to see us play them indoors, not in the snow. I think we would whoop them. But either way, I think it's a can't lose for Ohio State this weekend.
Yep.
As far as is that Minnesota-Wisconsin game. That really helped us
in the rankings.
Yeah, so Wisconsin's 12, Minnesota's 18. And one of those two teams is going to play Ohio State and Indianapolis in 2 weeks. And that is huge for Buckeye fans. And so, like, just looking at the week as we took a step back, they stayed at six. Nothing major happened. It was a fine week. We got through it. We played. We had some dumb turnovers. Minnesota won. Wisconsin won. We won. That's what we needed. All right? And now we're on to this week. So we wanted to go through some of the big games this week. There's a lot of them. It's rivalry week, and lots of crazy things can happen. And so we got Alabama in the Iron Bowl against Auburn. What do you think about that one, Tone?
I like Bama. I think they're the best team in the nation. Even though it's in Tuscaloosa, so I mean, like I said, the home team I think gets a big advantage in these rivalry games, along with I think they're the best team. So I believe Bama will take care of business pretty easily.
You think pretty easily?
Pretty easily. I'm saying two scores.
Two scores? I'm not going to give a prediction on the score. I do agree with you. Like, in these games, like Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, Oregon State, Auburn, Alabama, like, a lot of times they say you can throw out the records. And I think that's true. It's definitely true more when the lesser team is playing at home. I think we've seen that with Michigan and this.
Especially last year.
Yeah, but when the favored team, the better team is at home, I think it's a little more predictable, and I like Alabama in this game too. I think they're the best team in the country. I'm really excited. I really hope that Ohio State can win out and get that four, because I would really like to play them. Because I don't think they're – like 2 years ago, I think it was like, I don't know if this team could be beaten. I look at them now, and I'm like, well, they certainly can be beaten because they've lost. And like I would love to play them and just see what they've got. So we'll see that one. Alabama-Auburn, huge game. Lots of people going to be tuned into that one. The second game, so – Oregon, who's now ranked number two, they got a big one.
This gets a little interesting. Yeah. It's at Oregon State.
At Oregon State. And they've lost there. Like, this has been a hiccup in the past few years. Like, they've dropped this game at Oregon State before. And this is where we would say, like I was just saying, like in the rivalry game, like, this is where you can kind of throw the records out a little bit, because this is it at Oregon State. And I think that poses a different threat. What do you think for this one?
I hope Oregon State wins. I just don't see it happening, though, in the long run. I think Oregon will win. But it'll be a good game. It's going to be a hard-fought battle. But I think Oregon will just pull this one out a little bit.
Obviously, I feel like this one might be like a Florida State game. Like, it looks okay, and you're like, maybe this will happen. But
yeah.
I do really think Oregon's good. Like, I really think that they're a top-four team. I really like Mariota. I think
he's a baller.
He's a baller, man. He's like the antithesis of Jameis Winston. Like, he's just this calm dude who's from a quiet town in Hawaii.
You don't hear about him, like, doing... Too bad it's
dumb stuff. Did you ever see that video of Kevin Hart at the Florida State?
Oh, that was the funniest thing.
I'm not going to curse on camera or on the podcast, but it's Kevin Hart, who's like one of the funniest dudes in the world, and he's talking to all of the Florida State players, and he looks at Jameis. He's like, "You got to stop doing some dumb ish," and it was so funny. Jameis looked like caught off guard.
Yeah, he did.
It was funny, but I think Mariota, like, I would love him. Like, I'm a huge fan of him. I think he'd be a great addition to any NFL team. He can throw, he can run, and he's just got a great head on his shoulders. Like, that's for me, like, that's what a Heisman candidate should look like. Like, they're the face of your program, they handle things well, you're proud to, like, say, hey, they're from my university. And I'm a big fan. I think he'll win the Heisman, and I think that they win this game.
Because, like, stat-wise, him and actually JT Barrett are about the same, but that whole, like you said, the stature of him, the figurehead of the whole organization, I think, he's got a major head on the Heisman.
Yeah, I agree. So I think we're on the same page. Like, I think we both expect a close game here, but I think Oregon will win, and I think rightfully so. They will be going into the Pac-12 championship as a top four and a favorite to go into the college football playoff. The third-ranked Florida State Seminoles, who we've kind of touched on them. They're just frustrating to watch, or not watch in my case, just because – you just kind of know what's coming. I don't think they're great, but they're playing Florida. It's in Tallahassee. If it was at the Swamp, I'd give this maybe a little chance. But I don't know. It's Muschamp's last game. What do you think? They rally around them?
I see a game where Florida takes the lead early, holds on to it, and then Florida State comes and wins, just like they've done all year.
Wow, that's a great prediction. Do you have like a little glass ball here? Are we seeing into the future?
We are seeing into the future.
The future of Tony Hogan. He sees a collapse by the Florida Gators. The only hope I think that Florida has in this game is that it's Muschamp's last shot at them.
I don't like Muschamp.
I don't like him either, but I think that players rally around coaches. That's true. That thing. And we've seen before, like, it wouldn't let's just say I wouldn't be stunned if that game ends with Will Muschamp getting carried off the field on their shoulders. Like, it wouldn't stun me. But it also wouldn't stun me if Florida State just kind of beats them by 10.
It's
just,
yeah, I think 10-7 right in there.
Yeah, that's probably what it will be. LeBron James just went down the middle and dunked. We got the game on and mute in the background. It's good to see him get off the floor. All right, number four is still the Mississippi State Bulldogs. They are playing at Ole Miss, which we just kind of talked about, so we'll skip over that one. Who did you say you're taking in that?
Ole Miss, you're the home team.
I'm gonna say Ole Miss in that one too. I think that those teams are, they got shellacked at Arkansas. I think the weather was an issue and this and that, and I just don't think they're that great. But I do think that Mississippi State's not that great either. So I'm going Rebels in that one too. Big one tomorrow on Thanksgiving, TCU at Texas. Man, I think we need this one. I would love to see a TCU loss here.
This would be a big help. Because this eliminates that. Well, they don't play. What do we do with them? This would eliminate them, and that would be perfect. Like you said, it's at Texas. So there is a little help there.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a rivalry. I mean, Texas, oh, TCU, yeah. They certainly don't like each other. I think we're going to learn a little bit about TCU. I've said that I don't think they're that great. But I don't want to just be biased against them because I'm rooting for Ohio State. Like, if they come out and play well, I'm going to look at this objectively and say, like, okay. Like, they went into Texas and they handled their business. And so we'll see how that one goes. I'm going to watch that one. I'm definitely watching that game with an eye. Yes. They just showed the replay of LeBron again. Like,
it's so happy to see
this. It's so happy to see him split and just dunk on people. Like, I feel like I'm at home. I feel like a child that has gone back to his childhood home.
Yep.
And is just so excited. Like, his adult who's coming back to his home and just finally feel home again.
Off the air. It's great.
So we'll be watching that game close. I think everyone will be watching that game close. That's a huge one tomorrow. What a happy Thanksgiving that would be if the Longhorns come out with the W there. That would be spectacular.
I would love to wake up from my post-dinner nap. And the Longhorns be winning.
Well, this is the last chance TCU has to lose. Their next team's home at versus Iowa State, who's horrible, and then they're off. So if there's any chance of them losing, it is tomorrow. And if they don't lose tomorrow, then there's going to be a serious debate of can we jump a team with one loss that's been in front of us all year. So now to the big one in the horseshoe.
In the shoe.
The Ohio State Buckeyes play the team up north who's struggling. It's probably their coach's last game. They've had a really rough year. What do you see this one?
I see it being close in the first half just because of what it is. It is the biggest rivalry game in sports, but I believe Ohio State will win by 3 scores. I won't be worried about losing at all during this game.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
Bold statement.
Not 1 ounce bold of you will lose about winning?
No.
Wow.
Not against that team.
Not against
Brady Hoke.
I like it. I saw a sign hanging at – they showed a picture of it on a frat house at Ohio State. It said, Brady Hoke, 2014, 4 more years. And it's just like, that's the ultimate disrespect. Like, hey, we want your coach to stay. There's just one guy at work named Daryl. He's a huge Michigan fan, and he's always just talking nonsense. And I told him, I said, you know what? Like, at this point, like, I'm honestly rooting for your team. Like, other than when they play the Buckeyes, because you're so bad. Like, it's a disgrace to the program, and it's a disgrace to the Big Ten Conference. So
disgrace to the rivalry.
You. It is. It is a disgrace to the rivalry. I agree with you. Like, I'm spot on agree with your prediction of the game. I think that Ohio State wins this by 3 touchdowns. I don't think it's going to be 50-10. I really think it'll probably be close for a little bit, and then we'll kind of pour away. I wouldn't be stunned if it has kind of the same type of flow as the Indiana game did.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I don't think we'll be losing in the third quarter, but that's just kind of what happens with these games.
Yeah.
But I expect big things. Troy Smith. My favorite Buckeye of all time. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
He's my favorite Buckeye of all time.
I figure it's between him and Joey Galloway.
Yeah, Joey Galloway.
I know you like the cut top.
When I was a kid, I used to run around when I lived in Columbus. I cut all my shirts off so you could see my belly button, and I would run around the neighborhood with these little midriff shirts on pretending I was Joey Galloway.
I did not know Troy Smith was your favorite.
Though. Favorite. He was my favorite. He's my favorite Buckeye of all time.
Understandably, he's...
Before one of my traditions before every Ohio State Michigan game is I look up on YouTube the clip of him getting introduced on senior day, and he comes out and he raises his fist in the air and he plants his right foot into the ground and like starts like pulling the dirt back, and dude, every single time just chills down my whole body. Like, I'll show it to you when we're done with this. It's just like the coolest clip, and he's getting his jersey retired tomorrow. That's icing in the cake, man. My dad and my brother are gonna be there. $150 a pop. I didn't have it. I'm probably trying to pay for Nola's Christmas this year.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to go, but you'll be there, my dad, my brother. So all my guys will be there except me, but I will be planted in front of the TV on Saturday. I'll have my lucky socks on. I'll be watching my Troy Smith video, and hopefully I'll be celebrating.
I believe we will be celebrating.
I agree too. All right, so right behind us, Baylor, still at number 7. I'd love to see them lose. We don't want these teams with one loss kind of cramping in on us. They play at Texas Tech.
At Texas Tech. Kingsbury's abs. Don't forget that.
Cliff is the coach. We love him. We hope he stays forever because he's like a frat boy coaching a college football team. Like, no college football coach should look better than their starting quarterback, and that is definitely the case there.
Like, I think we brought up, he was at parties. Yeah, like, he was just hanging out.
He was partying with, like, the college girls in bikinis, and he, like, had his abs out. And this he was, like, really tan. I don't know if you could do that. Can you do that?
He can. I think if there's one person in the whole college football, it's Cliff Kingsbury that can do that.
You know who else is a monster? Charlie Strong, Texas' coach.
Oh, he's a big dude.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're losing if he ran out and speared a kid from TCU. Like, he's got that name. Like, his shirts are so big, he wears a polo and it just looks like he's busting out of it. I got respect for that. I mean, it's better to look like that than Charlie Weiss. Brady Hoke, right?
Or Brady Hoke, yeah.
Brady Hoke's is like, go run. I'd be like, you run. You know? Going to AFib just running. Well, Texas Tech.
But
what happened when they played TCU?
They got an 80 spot put on them.
82, right?
82.
So they lost to TCU by about a million. So the only thing I don't like here is you would hope if that really happened that Baylor's probably going to kill them.
Yeah.
So when we probably – if we only win by 3 touchdowns and Baylor wins by 1,000, like, there goes the pundits again. But just so you're aware, Texas Tech isn't quite Alabama, all right? Their defense is kind of like – a high school team.
Do you have a problem with Baylor? Like, when you're looking forward into the rankings?
I have a problem. I've said all along, I have a problem with Baylor being behind TCU.
I do have a problem with that.
How do you realize that? We've talked about, TCU loses at Baylor. Granted, it was an incredible comeback, and, like, TCU should have won the game, but they didn't.
They didn't win.
And Baylor's in front of them. I do see this happening, though. The Big 12 commissioner, he's like, hey, Baylor's like our conference champion. Like, if they don't lose, if they beat
rightfully so
this team and then they beat Kansas State and I think they play one more in between, like, we will submit them as our champion. And so I definitely think that in the end that they'll end up higher than TCU. But who cares? We'll see how that plays out. 8 is UCLA, and they got Stanford. I'd love to see UCLA keep winning.
Yep.
I think that'd be a great game for Oregon.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best hope of them losing, because we both agree they probably won't lose this weekend in the rivalry game. So they got Stanford this week. Stanford isn't the Stanford they were the last 4 years. It's kind of
a shame.
Yeah, but they're not like a traditional power.
No. I
mean, they've had
Andrew Luck came in, and then a couple years after then.
Well, they had Harbaugh.
He
was the coach. And so I think they're kind of going back to probably where they are, who they are. Like, this is who Stanford is. Yep. They're not a top 10 program. Then Georgia's 9. They got G Tech, who's 16. That's a big game. We'll see. I don't think that really matters. The only thing I haven't looked at it closely enough to know that who Missouri plays. But Georgia or Missouri, I think, are the two teams that will have a chance at representing the SEC East in that title game. I think Georgia's the better team.
Yeah.
Although you saw their guy tore his ACL.
Yeah, my boy Gurley.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, without them, Bama will stomp both teams. So. I don't think.
Well, their backup's pretty good, but yeah, I don't see that.
He's all right,
that's an interesting game just because it affects kind of the SEC, and that anything that affects the SEC at this point is kind of a big game.
Yeah.
And so, it's going to be a great weekend. I'm really excited for it. We got Thanksgiving tomorrow. I got a 40-mile bike ride in the morning as long as it's snowing. I'm going to ride about 2,500 calories off, and then go eat about 9,000.
Put them right back in.
Yeah.
We got the 4th annual Turkey Bowl.
That's a big game for you.
At my mom's house, yeah. Good old flag football game.
You know, Tone, I would appear in that, but I'm too old.
It's understandable.
I'm just getting a little old. I can't do that
anymore. I'll tell you what, my hamstrings are starting to take a while to recover.
Yeah.
I finally understand what you mean by I can't play.
Yeah, you get a little older, hamstrings get a little tighter. It's just, I'll go ride my bike today. So that's what I'll be doing. But it'll be a great weekend. I'm excited for that, too. You want to talk a little Cavs? We haven't talked much Cavs. I've had Seth and Coach Cal on.
We can talk some Cavs.
We got them on in the back room. They're leading Washington at halftime right now. So Cleveland is currently on the second game of a 4-game homestand. It's a big homestand for them.
Big homestand.
They're not playing the best competition. The next two teams are both under 500. I think it's Milwaukee, and I can't remember the other team. But this would be great to go 4-0 here, get to the winning a winning record, get above 500, and build from here.
Now I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I listened to your podcast. And
with Callahan?
With Callahan.
Okay.
You gave LeBron James a rating of a D-.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
D. As in donkey. D-.
Yeah.
Could you just explain that? Explain that to me.
You know, so my buddy Smitty, and he's a faithful listener to the Layup Line, he texted me, he said, a D-? And I will say this about it. I was a little emotionally raw because I had just watched them play horrendous when I gave him the D-. But let me just go on record too. And if you've listened at all, you'll know, like, I love LeBron James.
Favorite player ever.
He's my favorite player ever. I've rooted for him since he was in ninth grade and I first saw him play. I hope that he wins multiple championships. I watched him in Miami rooting for him. When he came back to the queue the first time, like, I didn't know what to feel. And then, like, in my heart, when he was playing, like, it made me smile when he just went off on us. Like, I just love him and I respect how he plays the game. I respect who he is as a person. And so I'm a huge LeBron James fan. What I have been critical of him for this season are the following things. His career averages are like 27.5 points a game, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, around there. And he's been known for being an incredible teammate, infectious personality, always positive, just a loving guy. Like, you just want to play with him.
Laughter.
An incredible defender and an energizer bunny of effort. And he doesn't mope. People say flops and he complains. That's a different story. Everyone does that. You ever watch Tim Duncan? I mean, it's like he never fouled a guy in his life. So LeBron, his baseline, like his average is 27-7-7. Incredible defense, incredible teammate, incredible personality, infectious energy, and positive attitude. Now, I'm watching him here, and what I've seen a lot this year is he's averaging like 25-6-6, so that's below his career average. He's shooting 10 points lower percentage-wise than he did last year. His turnovers are up. His defense has been down. He looks a little bit slower, and he's been kind of moping a little bit.
I agree with the
moping. And he hasn't been getting back on defense. So I didn't think it was like that insane to be like, well, if his 27-7-7 and all this great stuff is his average, that's his C or B plus or whatever, B minus, and he hasn't been doing that, that's a D, right? And the funny thing is after I said it, like the next day he was on ESPN and he was like, I stink. Like, I got to play better. And then Brian Windhorst, your boy, sent out an article and was talking about how bad the Bronze energy has been and how
it has been bad.
And so, like, I don't want to, like, I didn't want to, like, attack him. Like, the last thing I want to do is attack LeBron. He's never going to hear this anyway. But, I mean, I love him and I'm rooting for him. And obviously, I want the Cavs to succeed. But, like, that's where I honestly grade him. And I think the last two games has been better. And from what we've seen this first half, it's been better. And so I want him to be a B and an A. Like, we need that.
We need that.
But I'm trying to be realistic.
Okay. I understand that now. I understand where the rating's coming from.
And I do think, like, I strongly feel, and I was even talking to Tanya, my wife, about it tonight. She was saying, I don't know if that's true. But I really do think that, like, the more I'm watching him, like, there is a bit of coming to grips with the fact that, like, he's a little bit different than he was even last year or the year before. Like, he's a little older. And, like, that's okay. Like, we can't expect him to be 22 forever. You know what I mean? I
wish we could.
Yeah, I wish we could. I mean, I still think he's an incredible athlete. I just think he's a little bit slower. I mean, guys used to – I mean, you didn't want to – if LeBron James was guarding, you just passed the ball. And, I mean, now guys are running isolation plays against him. And I do just think there's an element of, like, as Cavs fans, and it's hard to say, but, like, we're going to have to come to grips with eventually LeBron is going to get a little bit older and his skill set is going to change a little bit. And we have to be okay with that. And so I'm not giving him a D because I think he looks a little bit slower. I just think we need more from him, and I think he would be the first one to tell you that he hasn't been where he thought he should be. You agree with that?
I do agree with that. He does look slower, doesn't really jump as high as he seems he used to. I don't know if that's him or whatever, but moping. But he seemed to address the problem, so I feel like we'll be on the upside here.
I mean, you and I have watched some Cavs games together, and it just seems like the drives that used to finish with him
yeah. –
eye level at the rim are now maybe a dunk, and the ones that used to finish normal dunks are layups, and it's a little different.
It's a new player.
He's a little different, yeah. And this happens. Like,
we've
talked, I talked in length about the other players kind of when you hit that age of 30. I mean, D. Wade's 32. The last time we saw him as D. Wade was 29.
Yeah.
I think it kind of happens, and here's the thing. Like, I'm optimistic that LeBron is so smart, and he's such a great player, that he's going to adjust, and I'd take LeBron at 90% athleticism over anyone else in the world. Maybe other than a healthy Kevin Durant, I'd love to see, which we might get to see. Do you hear reports saying him and Westbrook maybe Friday?
Friday. I did see that. I thought it was kind of, I just like, eh. But then I looked into it more. I'm like, wow, this could happen.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I would just wait a little bit longer. You don't want to re-injure.
I think that foot, that broken bone, and in the history that's had with guys, I think you're crazy to put him out there before January. I really do. Like, I just think, I don't know. And the thing is,
Sanderson Rose, I mean, man, his key might come back too early.
Yeah, and in the foot especially. I don't think Westbrook's a problem. Like, a hand's a hand. Like,
yeah, it just,
you can come back from that. You'll be fine. I think I'd love to see him back, and I think he will be back Friday for sure. We'll see what happens with Durant. I hope they're smart with him. Like, I don't love Durant. Like, I think I love LeBron so much that sometimes I get mad at all the Durant stuff because people make him out like this superhero that can't do anything wrong. And, like, he was, like, the anti-LeBron, how he re-signed and it was quiet. And I'm like, okay, like, he's not God. Like, he does some dumb stuff, yeah, too. And I got tired of people always giving him a pass and getting on LeBron. But I think it's going to be interesting to see when he does come back, because he's getting into that moment where LeBron got towards the end of his first run in Cleveland, where it's like, okay, like, it's, you got
to
win.
I need to win, yeah.
Like, you got to, like, we've been saying for 3 years, like, it's your time. Like, eventually you got to come through. And they're in last place right now. The Oklahoma City Thunder are behind the Los Angeles Lakers. They are in dead last.
That's what happens when Reggie Jackson is leading your team.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. And so I understand from that point of view, like, you got to get those guys back. But you got to think long term, too, with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, you don't want to come back and then hurt it couple weeks later and he's out for another 3 months. Like, you want to make sure it's the perfect time.
Because Kevin Durant, I mean, let's be clear, he's not just an all-star. He's like a once-in-a-generation player.
Easily.
Like, that ability with his size, I'd never seen anything like it. And I appreciate that about him. So we'll see what happens there. I'm excited as this NBA season kind of heats up. What's your prediction for the Cavs over the next month? They're playing less than 500 ball right now. Where do you see them at the start of January?
Like I said, the whole time I thought by Christmas is when they're going to be gluing. And so I think we'll be a little bit above 500 going into January. But then January on, I believe we'll be playing elite basketball and spring up the rankings.
I'm kind of on the same page. Like, I see us, my hope is that this 4-game homestand gets us above 500. I'm thinking we hang out there 500-600 basketball for December, maybe even parts of January. And then my hope is kind of by February, March, that we're rolling playing 700 basketball and getting ready to play at an elite level. I think that's the mold that we're hoping for. We got a lot to sort out. I think individually we've talked in length, and so we won't go into that. But that's kind of my hope, too, for the Cavs. And so, you know, we'll see. I talked about taking a two-week hiatus from watching him because I was getting so frustrated at LeBron. But I'm going to stick with him. He's my guy. He's been my guy since he was 15, and so he's still my guy at 29. He's going to be 30 soon, and I stick with him. I'm rolling with him, and I'm excited to watch. That's probably it for us tonight, Tone. You got anything else you want to talk about before we roll out?
No, that's about it. I think we covered everything that we need to.
It was great having you in studio.
In studio.
Hey, in the summer, we might be able to be in studio all the time.
Yeah.
No red-eye flights? No red-eye flights,
yeah. No sleeping in airports or anything like that. Just come right in the studio, and we get the podcast done.
That's great. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the big one Saturday. I'm excited. You have to send me some pictures.
Will do.
I'll be cheering strong from this spot right here on my couch. And we're going to watch the rest of the Cavs game together, hang out. And so we thank you guys for joining in with us tonight. Go Bucks, go Cavs, and go Browns.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.